Services of a local business or political concern. This is a paid interview, and the statements and opinions expressed are those of the guests of the program and not necessarily those of the host or this station.
Good morning. It's time for City Matters on K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3. It's 51 degrees at 9:31. Ed Gordon and company are with us, and I'll hand it over to you guys because Ed says I just tweet during the show anyway, so I'll just hand it over to you.
Whatever that is, it's a twit. Somewhere in there. I was commiserating with your radio pal Phil.
Yeah.
Philip J. Weaver.
That's right.
About his fanny pack. I almost wore my brown one in.
Well, you should have.
I struggled with myself, and I should have put it on just to show that I have one, so that Phil and I could. Mm-hmm. The traveling pants or whatever that show was.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah, we're gonna have Brotherhood of the fanny packs. Yeah. That's exactly
and
right.
And I showed Ed a picture of me with a fanny pack as well. So yeah,
you did.
I degraded Phil, but I have a fanny pack.
It is blue in color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very nice. Very
it's
very
blue and blue. Yeah,
it's very stylish.
Thank
the
you.
One that you had. The
I
one I have
that.
Is not quite as styling as yours.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be on the radio with Evan Farbach, and then of course we have several of the city staff. Let's do a couple of announcements. Kelly, we have Kelly Williams, our in public information officer, our PIO.
Good morning, Ed.
Morning. Glad you could make it with us this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
And your face shows that.
It always does.
Yes. What do we got coming up and opportunities for citizens of the city?
Well, we have several cleanup programs going on in April and May. First of all, we have the spring coupon. Ed, you may remember that we replaced the, we've done several versions of the spring and fall cleanups over the years, but we've always done something. And last fall, we issued a coupon that allowed Bartlesville utility customers to go to the Osage landfill one time, anytime during a 6-month period, and dispose of their items that they don't want anymore. So we just mailed out the spring coupon, and so people can use that until the end of June to go anytime to Osage Landfill during their regular hours, of course, and get rid of those items. And we also have Operation Clean House, which is a multi-agency program that involves several agencies, the City of Bartlesville, Washington County, ConocoPhillips, Phillips 66. They all participate in that, and that basically is where you can take hazardous household mm-hmm. items and dispose of those. That's going to be in conjunction with Earth Day on April 22nd, and there's two locations, the Phillips 66 parking lot and the Washington County District 2 barn on West 1500 Road in Dewey. And there's a whole list of things that are and are not accepted. You can find those on our website, www.cityofbartlesville.org. All that information is there. And then, of course, we have the...
Is it on the front page, or do you have to go searching for it?
No, there is. Yeah, it is on the front page.
At the bottom of the...
Actually, there's an article there that has all of these programs in that. It's kind of a Q&A, a real quick glance to see what you need to, what you want to do. And we also have the yard waste collection coming up the first week of May, and that's basically where you can take your leaves and grass and bag them up and put them out on your regular collection day, and the sanitation department will come and pick those up.
Excellent. Well, Kelly, thank you for that information. Again, Kelly Williams does a great job putting that information out. We're going to talk a little more about a particular issue that we're going to address. But before we address that particular issue, morning, Mr. Seamers.
Morning.
How things in the engineering department?
Going well.
This is Director of Engineering Services, Mr.
Well.
Mike Seamers. And... Mike, I know you've got a lot going on, a lot on your plate.
We do.
But there's a couple of things that don't belong to you.
Thank God.
That's it.
That's true.
Evan, I saw him down at the train station cheering. Every time a train would go through town. After about a week of that, I believe that we should call in our counseling service and have him check for doing that when I... When I approached him about it, I said, why are you, every time a train comes through town, why are you cheering like that? I said, it's the only thing I don't have to push. Micah.
Very nice.
Let's
very
talk.
Nice.
Yes. I know we've been, folks have been. I spoke a group at First Baptist Church last week.
Okay.
Little city update, and one of their questions was about the bridge on over Turkey Creek, right there at where locals will know it as Eastland Shopping Center.
Right.
And right there on the south side of Eastland is Turkey Creek, and there, who is it that's replacing the bridge?
That is not the city of Bartlesville. That is the Oklahoma Department of Transportation, ODOT. So that is an ODOT project. Yeah, they've got everything, the whole world torn up there. It's awful.
And it is, and it narrows down. Seems though, I've been through there a couple of times. Traffic seems to be moving pretty quickly through it.
Moves fairly well.
But I noticed when I drove by last week on a Friday, as I drove through there was nobody working. Yeah, and
interesting.
And I wonder, why is nobody working?
Well, nobody's working right now because they did remove the beams and the structure of the northbound lanes. And when they did that, there's an ongoing debate as to really who's responsible, if the beams were just in poor condition to begin with, or if the contractor maybe boogered them up a little bit. But
what does boogered up mean? I'm not sure about that. Is that an engineering?
It's a technical.
Is that a technical term
that we look up in the engineering dictionary, and there it says booger.
Boogered up. And there will be a picture of those beams.
There will be now.
That's right. That is hillbilly for.
We've lost all our listeners now.
They're gone.
No one is listening.
They're gone.
There's.
Yes, no, the beams are in worse condition than they
have. I'm sure the mayor is probably listening, and we need to be careful what happens from here.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think we're getting some feedback right now.
Uh-oh. Boogered. Oh, here you go. Look at this. Evan, he got on his Twitter account here and says, damaged, inoperable, can't use.
It's
a technical term.
He's helping you out.
The technocrat.
This is a
group,
technical
obviously.
Term.
Thank you, Evan.
All right,
so the beams are chipped and damaged.
They are damaged, and they're in worse condition than they had planned. And so whether it is that was the existing condition or if the contractor maybe did damage them, they essentially have to recast. Most of the beams, the majority of the beams. So they weren't planning on that, so it is a delay. That being said, I was under the understanding that possibly last Friday or Saturday is when they would start working on those again. It appears as though that's not the case. So those beams must not be in. So that being said, it's a little bit of a delay in the project. Not sure what that means yet. I've been talking with the ODOT.
But we're not paying for it, and
we're not
inspecting it, and we're not responsible for it.
That's
but
correct.
We're sharing. You got this information from who?
From Mark Williams with ODOT.
Okay, the Department of Transportation.
He's the engineer over the project.
Yeah, you've been corresponding with him, asking
right.
how this is going and keeping track for the citizens of the city.
Correct.
And I think probably what we should do is get Kelly involved, and she could perhaps put on the website a little update about the progress of that from time to time. All right? Micah?
Kelly, your workload's just getting bigger.
Yeah, it really is.
That's actually on there.
Is it on Mark Williams' emails?
No. I could put those on there.
Yeah, that'd be good. Also, let's talk about at the intersection of Adams and Silver Lake, just to the
right.
east of that, they're doing road widening.
They are.
But also, what else are they going to put in there?
So there's also going to be a traffic signal, and they're doing that in preparation for a traffic signal that's going to go in. So we're, as part of that development, it's going to generate enough traffic. There was a study done. By a consulting engineer that showed that it did justify or warrant having an traffic signal at that intersection to move traffic through there. So we will be installing a traffic signal at the intersection. The equipment right now is on order. I talked with the contractor actually this morning, and the equipment is on order for that. Should be anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks before they get that material on hand, and then they'll likely begin installation shortly after that. You'll see. They are widening the road through there as well to account for turn lanes that they will be adding that will be at the intersection.
Is there going to be a change on the north side of the street?
There is.
What's that going to be?
There'll be an added turn lane there. So basically this is going to be wide enough where they can have left turn lane and right turn lane and through traffic in both directions. So eastbound and westbound will have left turn and right turn capabilities.
Will access in to what I'm calling Bigley Lake be changed?
It will. It will be changed, yes. So currently the intersection, or the entrance into the Cooper Dog Park and Lee Lake, Bigley Lake. Sorry, I'm corrected.
Little Lee, Bigley.
Exactly. So currently that's just west of that beautiful lift station we have. Terry Lorson's
beautiful cedar fence around it.
With the cedar fence around
picket
it.
Picket fence.
Yes. So it's currently west of that, and it will be shifting then to the east at this new intersection.
And we'll close off that old road?
We'll close off the old road.
Okay.
And this will
be. But that'll be a controlled access point.
It will be controlled access. It'll be a lot nicer. It'll be better.
So, excellent.
Yep, that's the plan. You should see some paving activities likely next week on the, will be the eastbound expansion. Mm-hmm. So on the south side. And then within another couple weeks after that, likely see paving activities on the north side as well. So.
Now, Mike, we were making light, but you have a tremendous workload, and appreciate all that you do, and how your team accomplishes that as an end. I'm grateful.
I'll
pass that on to our next victim.
Good morning,
radio victim. Good morning, Mr. Bailey, Mike Bailey, our esteemed chief financial officer, city clerk. Utility billing director, about seven hats.
Which one do you want me to do today?
Well, this I want to let's talk about the Redevelopment Act.
Okay, exciting topic.
Yeah, it is, and because it's the mayor asked about this the other day, and about information that we have available to the public, and I thought we'd introduce this. It's Title 62 in State of Oklahoma Constitution.
It is
constitutional law, 62-861.
Yeah, there's a, actually starts up about 8:51, I think, and then runs. That's about the end of it. It's a pretty lengthy. You want me to just start reading from the top? Or?
No, because yeah, that's about 62 pages long.
I've got a couple of them here
in font that I can't read.
Yeah.
Why? All right. Why did the state of Oklahoma deem it necessary, Mike, to establish this Reinvestment Act is what really it is. It's
yeah.
It's about tax increment financing. But why has the state of Oklahoma found it necessary to do this?
Well, they believed that in order to encourage development and redevelopment, and specifically the act says investment, development, and economic growth is difficult but is possible. Only with the provision of this act, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit more, but we call that the but-for test. In other words, a development wouldn't happen but for the provisions of this act. So the state of Oklahoma created this with the intention of spurring development throughout Oklahoma. They also put some provisions in here that tried to keep it from being used to cause one business to relocate from one community to another. They didn't want to start a bidding war. It happens anyway for new development, but it doesn't, at least they don't allow you to cause a manufacturer to move from, you know, from Lawton to Moore. They won't allow them to do that. In that case, it wouldn't be allowed. But essentially it was to allow development in these areas that were challenged in one way or another.
And as we talk about immediately when the public hears us, as I'm a bureaucrat, but an appointed official, when we, Mike, when we talk about use of taxes, the public, their ears perk up because they think, the local government is going to be increasing our taxes.
Sure.
Does that happen in this? I know I'm really should be talking about this at the last, but here at the very beginning, do the taxpayers have to reach into their pockets and pay additional monies for these kinds of things?
They don't, and we should have. I actually should have mentioned it just a second ago. The Local Development Act, what it primarily does is creates the ability for cities to use TIFs, which you hear a lot about in Bartlesville. It's tax increment finance districts. There is no sales tax increase. There is no property tax increase for the taxpayers when we create these. In fact, what they're designed to do is that they establish whatever taxes are being generated within the TIF continues to be used. They continue to go to the school districts and the cities and whoever has that levy. But then anything new that's created as a result of the Local Development Act from that point forward gets captured. So in other words, if we have a piece of property that earns $100 a year, and then we put a TIF on it and build a manufacturing facility and it generates $100,000 more a year, that $100,000 is then the increment that can be used.
But that's ad valorem property taxes.
That is ad valorem property taxes.
Ad valorem means property taxes.
And it will be paid by the person who built the building. So in other words, that
entity.
Property tax didn't exist without the TIF.
And the entity that invested their own money in that. And then whatever the public infrastructure that was put in place to assist in that development, once that is paid off or paid out over a period of time, then what happens to that $100,000 then?
Well, then that goes back to the entities who would have normally received it. So in this case, primarily that would be Tri-County Tech, the school district, Washington County, and the city of Bartlesville receives a small amount of property tax as well for geo bonds.
And you said you talked about the but-for clause. And what specifically that means is they wouldn't do it except.
That's right. So if we can run through one other thing, the Local Development Act, the powers that are within it, it enumerates several powers, and I'll give a couple of examples, but basically it allows us to establish TIF districts. It allows us to cause bonds to be issued that use those TIF revenues. It allows us to apportion those local taxes, and that's what we talked about. The taxes that are generated because of the TIF, that those get apportioned and then can be used for public purposes. Cities can acquire land, cities can clear land. Cities can create things. We can build sidewalks. We can build roads. We can build drainage appurtenances. Public facilities. We can build those. We can transfer land to the developer as part of these projects. And then the final thing is that we can designate a public entity to exercise these powers. So cities create TIF districts, but they don't typically administer them. They'll transfer the authority to an authority. In Bartlesville, the authorities that have done TIFs for us have been the Bartlesville Municipal Authority, which essentially the City Council, just under a different hat, the Bartlesville Development Authority, which is used to be the BDC, it's our development, redevelopment, economic development arm, and then the BRTA, which is primarily focused on downtown development. So all of those have exercised powers. But the but-for clause that you are talking about is primarily the responsibility of the review committee. So that's one of the steps in the Local Development Act, is that the governing body will appoint a review committee. The review committee is composed of city, county, school district. It's composed of all of these taxing entities who have a say in this, and then also people from the public called at-large. And they have certain responsibilities, but their main responsibility is that they are to determine that this project wouldn't happen but for the existence of the TIF. And if they can satisfy that, then they've met most of the other criteria. One other thing, for anybody who's curious about TIF districts, all of the meetings of these review committees are subject to the Open Meetings Act, which means that we post them on our website, we post them at City Hall, and people are welcome to come and sit, listen. There is always, by ordinance of the council, there is always a citizens to be heard at all committees and authorities. So people are welcome to come and join us.
And just as we do an overview, Mike, so a baseline is, let's talk about how these are done. As you calculate the revenue that's going to be generated by a TIF district, first you have to establish a baseline. You go across the street with Todd Mathis.
Sure.
And Todd will take a look at that piece of property, help public understand that.
So within 90 days of the establishment of a TIF district, or the establishment of the boundaries, the county assessor is required to get a current assessment at that point in time. So he goes in and looks at all the property and says, here is their assessed value. That becomes the baseline that we're talking about. And again, so assuming that generates $100 in property taxes in a year, that's the new baseline. Anything over that area now generates because of the formation of the TIF, that is the money that gets captured as part of the district and will be used to do the things that we talked about. It can be used for public improvements, administration of the TIF, incentives for manufacturers, retailers, things of that nature are all contemplated within the act.
Let's work a little more on this. So ad valorem or property taxes are established, and you referenced this earlier about a piece of property that generates $100
right.
a year. So maybe there's 10 acres, and maybe that 10 acres generates $100 an acre, inside the city limits, right, of Bartlesville to the taxing agencies today.
Right.
So typically that $100
undeveloped land, yeah, or underdeveloped.
Right. So that $100 would be apportioned by Todd and paid out by the treasurer of the county.
Right.
To who?
To the taxing agencies, which is primarily, again, the school district, Washington County, Tri County Tech, and the city of Bartlesville would be the four main ones.
When you pay your bill, yep, in Washington County,
it is enumerated.
It is listed. And how much on how many, what the millage rate is, and how much
each one
is to be paid.
You're exactly right.
And then a total is given.
Most people never see their bills because they have a mortgage, though. So I find this conversation, I'll tell people that, I pay property taxes?
Yes,
you do. I promise.
And so it's broken out, and then that particular piece of property, it only affects the property owner. That is, he pays, she pays, they pay taxes only on that particular piece of property.
Right.
So that here's that 10 acres that is in an agricultural area. It is undeveloped. And an entity like GBT buys 10 acres to do a development, and that baseline is established, $100 an acre. And then they build on that. And as you say, they make improvements to the property, and the property becomes much more valuable. Instead of $100 an acre, it turns into what you said, can turn into, well,
yeah, might be $100,000 a year.
And those are the funds that above the initial baseline,
right,
that are used to repay public improvements that were made on the property.
Whatever exists there today before the TIF is formed will continue. That will be apportioned to the taxing agencies. Anything new, that will go into the TIF district for public improvements.
What is your role in this, Mr. Taxman?
Well,
Mr. City of Bartlesville.
We're actually missing our primary TIF person. Lisa Beeman was sick today.
She comes to you and asks for you for fact, to do what?
Yeah, in fact, I've answered most of her questions, but typically it comes to me after the need and the boundaries have been established, and I handle the as you said, Todd Mathis, the county assessor, sets the apportionment, but the revenues and the financing, and then if we go out for bonds, that's typically where I will step in. So in order to build a road, you have to have the money on hand. A TIF is set up to bring the money in necessary to build the road over 15 to 20 years. So we'll do what we call tax apportionment notes, and I'll typically work with the banks and the attorneys to do that, and then we monitor. Now, one of the things that we didn't cover is we kept mentioning ad valorem in our most recent TIF, which is the one that is out at Silver Lake Villages for phase two.
Where is Silver Lake Village, in case the folks don't know?
That is the one just the east of Lowe's. And phase two contains several small retail establishments and also one very large one, which I believe was made public, was the Academy Sporting Goods. This would be the largest retailer that has come to operate in the city of Bartlesville in recent history. In order to make that happen, it took more than just the ad valorem that was going to be generated on the property. So the city of Bartlesville agreed to give a small portion of sales tax as well into the TIF. One of the other parts of the act is that the city can only give its own revenue when it comes to sales tax, but other entities can voluntarily agree to give theirs.
And the county, Washington County.
That's correct. In this instance, Washington County also gave their portion of sales tax, just like the city of Bartlesville did. So I think it speaks to how important that development is, not just to the city of Bartlesville, but to Washington County as well, that everyone was willing to step up to the plate and say, we'll give to make sure it happens.
Because the quicker the thing pays off.
Absolutely.
Then that money that was going to pay off public infrastructure improvements and acquisition, perhaps, now that money is rolled into the school districts, as you just indicated.
That's right. That's right. And they definitely appreciate it when we shorten the term on this.
Yeah. And again, they're really losing nothing.
No. But they have a lot to gain.
They have a lot to gain, and they're not losing anything except that's above that for a period, the baseline tax, until that is paid.
And I will say that in all the review committees that I've been in, I've never seen it not be a unanimous vote when a recommendation was made to the city council to adopt one. So they have nothing to lose, but they have a lot to gain, but everybody appreciates a shorter term.
Well, that's there's Caleb. That gives kind of he knows he ran from the door.
Yeah, he just likes to distract.
Was that a distraction?
He's a wise man.
Well, he accomplished
his goal. Yes, he did.
Mike, I'm not going to talk about the committee itself and how it's formed. Ms. Beeman on the next radio program.
Good.
Along with you being here to assist. We'll talk about that. We've got about four minutes left in the radio program. Let's talk about sales tax recent.
Sales tax.
Because they haven't been flat, they've been a little bit on the negative side.
Well, it had been a little bit on the negative side until we got to our March receipt, and it was a lot on the negative side. This was probably the worst single month that the city of Bartlesville has had in a very long time.
Yeah.
So as far as last year, we generated $1.47 million in sales tax in March. This year, we generated less than $1.3 million. So there was over $170,000 decline in this 1 month from last year to this year, which was about a 12% decline. And as I look at my sheet and you look at yours,
11, 12.
Neither one of us is going to find a negative 12 on,
no,
on
we don't.
For any
we
previous
don't.
Month.
We go back and there's 8% I can see.
Yeah.
In a March sales tax, it just isn't one that compares with this.
Yeah, it was. There was definitely a huge decline. So we're down about 2.7% for the year. That's adjusted because we've got all of the changing rates. As you know, our new rate took effect with our first check. Our first check that we saw the new rate was in March of 2016. So we're not quite where we thought we would be. We really thought that things would kind of turn around about February or March, and that was what was contemplated in the budget. Unfortunately, that's not been the case. Now that 12% decline contained an error from a very large remitter that will be fixed in this month, but it's still
not going to make it up.
Now we're still going to be off by over $100,000.
So of course, have you had a chance to look at the SIC codes in that?
Yeah, we looked at those. We looked at the individual vendor remittances and got some degree, some idea of what was going on. It was relatively widespread, but it really affected some of our largest vendors. And there's no logical reason other than it was just a local issue. The most municipalities around the state actually had a slight increase. So it was unique to Bartlesville, and we hope that it was just a 1 month blip and that we're praying for April.
Yeah, it's going to be a big increase. Is that what you're saying?
We're praying for April. All right. I don't make predictions anymore. I'm always wrong.
Mike, we got about a little more than a minute left. In the finance department, what are we doing right now?
What are we doing right now? We are getting ready for the budget. So,
what does that mean?
That means we're working with departments. We're getting requests in. We're estimating revenues for the next year. So. It's busy times, but it's also a lot of fun. We'll see how it all comes together here in the next couple of months.
Meeting with the department directors. Directors are pulling their numbers together for the 17-18 budget year.
Yep.
And we're looking forward to that. City Council, of course, will prioritize that budget. Some things are fixed. The expenditures are fixed. And
yes.
That is not. They get the opportunity to weigh in on that.
Yep, and we'll and Micah and Terry, I'm sure, are preparing for the capital budget as well.
Yes. Well, Kelly, Micah, and Mike, thank you for coming in today and being a part of this, and your voices reflected the enthusiasm that our city staff normally has. Mr. Farbach, thank you for hosting us.
Yes.
I appreciate it. God bless the city of Bartlesville.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The president.